Dear Chair, distinguished ministers, excellencies, ladies and gentlemen, I must reiterate our delegation's opposition to the placement of the representative of the Russian Federation to the position of President of the Assembly. Despite this, it's an honor for me to address the Assembly today on behalf of Ukraine, one of the founding member states of the United Nations. First of all, I'd like to thank Dr. Chan for the magnificent work she's done at the post of Director General, her personal commitment and dedication. Under Dr. Chan's leadership, global health indeed has made great progress. I hope that her successor will further develop the legacy she's leaving behind her, continuing, among other things, the major reform process, which will render the organization better prepared to face current and future challenges for global health. Since the WHO's inception 70 years ago, the world has dramatically changed. It has become more insecure and vulnerable to hybrid threats, as evidenced by the heinous terrorist attack in Manchester. This situation directly affects, among other things, the health dimension. For instance, as regards to Ukraine, for almost 4 years now, innocent men, women, and children, and the elderly have died as a result of Russia's war against Ukraine. Its impact on Ukraine's population has been felt far wider than the occupied territories of my country. The government of Ukraine, and in my case, the Ministry of Health, is unable to provide any health services whatsoever to the millions of Ukrainian citizens remaining trapped under Russian occupation. Many of my fellow ministers understand the painful and costly burden that war can bring to the public health system. Ministers from Pakistan, Afghanistan, Turkey, and elsewhere know very well the challenges of preventing outbreaks of diseases when millions of people are internally displaced, unreachable by static health centers. The failure of the Russian occupation army and its proxy forces to adhere to the Minsk agreements is well documented, with almost 500 kilometers of the Ukrainian border exclusively under control of Russia and its proxies. The aggressor state continues to supply increasing amounts of sophisticated weaponry. As you recall, the tragedy of MH17 on July 17, 2014 was a direct result of such weapons deployment. And they continue to shell innocent civilians with inhumane abandon, killing more than 10,000 people. One in five schools has been damaged or destroyed. In defiance of the UN Security Council Resolution 2286, many health facilities have been hit by shells several times. Healthcare workers have been taken hostage, wounded, and killed. In the Russian-occupied region of Luhansk Oblast, the situation has returned to the Dark Ages, with health policies copied from the Russian Federation. There are credible reports that antiretroviral and tuberculosis treatment is unavailable. The only source is delivery by smugglers. There's a dangerous lack of detailed data-derived insights into the child health immunization, vaccine, and polio status in the areas experiencing the most intense conflict. The UN estimates that mines are strewn across at least 30,000 hectares of land, or 300 square kilometers, far beyond the reach of current limited clearance efforts. Landmines and unexploded ordnance have killed more than 600 soldiers and civilians, including dozens of children, and wounded more than 2,000, including a young boy in Luhansk just a few days ago. And I remind you what Dr. Chan said at the previous assembly: armed conflicts in faraway places will not stay remote. What happens in my neighborhood affects your neighborhood. Very few health or security threats are local anymore. As long as Russia continues to wage an illegal occupation and war, it should pay a price for its actions. That's why I call upon all of you, fellow ministers, to encourage your governments to support strengthening and expanding sanctions against the Russian Federation. Its gross violation of the Minsk agreements and international law needs to be met with the strongest resolve possible. Ladies and gentlemen, today Ukraine is an open and transparent country. More has been done to reform it in the past 3 years than in the previous 23. This includes upgrading our ability to stop the spread of preventable diseases such as polio and measles by improving vaccine supply, changing protocols, and upgrading disease surveillance and response. Much of this has been done in cooperation with our international partners. Until recently, Ukraine had one of the lowest immunization rates in the world, as low as 14% in mid-2015 for polio. However, a nationwide polio campaign in 2015 and 16 have helped boost coverage, and the new procurement practices will ensure against vaccine stockouts. While social media platforms can be effective channels for delivery of accurate and positive information, they are often also used as a mass forum for the communication of disinformation about the desirability and safety of vaccines. We need to enhance our cooperation to counter such efforts. For the first time in 25 years, key reforms ready to be passed by the Ukrainian parliament will finally give Ukrainians a public health system that meets international standards, uses international protocols, and empowers the patient. And yet, vested interests with support from foreign elements are trying to block these reforms from being passed in the Ukrainian parliament. The adoption of these draft laws is extremely important, especially for the most vulnerable, who need access to quality health care. We do not have the luxury to wait another 5 years before any of these reforms take effect. We are thankful for the support and cooperation of the World Health Organization. Your work is having a positive effect in Ukraine. However, we would also welcome more efforts to bring streamlined procedures and more rapid implementation. Ladies and gentlemen, the Euromaidan Revolution of Dignity in the winter of 2013 and 2014 was only the first step. Building a new Ukrainian healthcare system that provides equal access to quality healthcare is the next step in a process of building Ukraine free from foreign intervention. Due to decades of corruption and neglect, Ukraine is a nation with a declining population, low life expectancy, and a declining birth rate. No health minister can drive change alone. I would appreciate, dear colleagues, your further active engagement and cooperation with all branches of the Ukrainian government to ensure the implementation of much needed healthcare reforms. Ukrainians cannot wait another half decade. Thank you for your support to help us move Ukraine and global health forward. Thank you.